All right, easy here for my latest partner, ExpressVPN. You're like, what the hell is that? I'll get to that. Calm down. First of all, going online without ExpressVPN is like forgetting to mute yourself on a Zoom meeting. Do you really want all of your coworkers to hear you trash talking them? Okay, so that's kind of like helping me illustrate to you what's up. Why everybody needs a VPN. Okay, so everything you do online, the shows you watch, the websites you go to, anything you do online, that gets sent to your internet service provider, including your mobile network providers. They know every single website you visit. All right? Reroute 100% of your traffic to ExpressVPN through their secure encrypted servers so your ISP cannot see your browsing history. Privacy is really big to a lot of folks, so that's why this is very, very important. ExpressVPN is the best. They hide your IP address, making it extremely difficult for third parties to track your online activity. That's important for your old pal EZ because with my setup, I can't have any compromises. My internet is so important for doing what I do that if anything affects what I do, that's trouble. That's why I use ExpressVPN. Very easy to use. You just fire up the app and click one button to get protected. Works on all of your devices too, phones, laptops, tablets, more, so you can stay private on the go. I swear by this, and my life is so much easier now that the Eric Zane Show podcast is utilizing ExpressVPN. So what you need to do is protect your online privacy today by visiting expressvpn.com/Zane. That's expressvpn.com/Zane. And you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/Zane. All right. I'm here. I'm queer. I forgot Jimmy in Maine. I forgot about going to visit Jimmy on the free podcast. How did you all let me forget Jimmy? The Maine contingency for my visit in, I think, early July. I think right around the 4th of July. Corey, fuckstick. Logan, cool. No, I did have Jimmy down. Nikki, I know there's more than four. And I'm not including Patriot Nick. He'll probably be lurking there and probably will slash my tires if he can get a ride share to take a blowjob. Just had a, you know, there's a couple of hairs that are out of place and I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Fuck. Sunday of this week. The NFK. My tooth hurt. My tooth hurt. Okay. I'm on top of it. Monday morning. Show starts. Just before my show starts at 8. I called the dentist and they said, all right, you can get in today. We'll take care of it. Pooh Bear takes him because she had the day off. You know all this already. I already told most of you this. Come back and they said, hang on. Hiya! Hiya!
No, this is a bad one.
Dennis says it's not decay, surprisingly. Which is like one of the first times he's ever returned from a dentist visit. And his pain was not caused by decay. What's remarkable is he had a mouthful of rotting teeth when he moved in. But they hadn't gotten bad enough where it was causing him pain and discomfort. It wasn't until he moved in here that the decay started chewing on the nerves. So, thousands of dollars of dental work just to keep him, you know, on the up and up. And I'm in charge of all these things. I have to schedule. I have to pay the bills. I have to all the other things involved in his life, other types of medical things. I have to schedule all that shit and make sure we're on the same page. So the dentist says to Kevin, yeah, and he ground down one of the teeth a particular way. I guess he's grinding the teeth at night, leading to somehow some type of pressure on the nerve when he wakes up in his waking hours. And he said, you don't have any decay there, but you're doing something with your teeth at night. I recommend you get a sleep study to determine what's happening there, something to do with sleep apnea. Now, I sound like I don't know what I'm talking about when I'm describing it to you, but that's what was told to me. Monday, I call Diana when she's at the dentist, and I go, and she's on the way home. I go, okay, so what's going on? I'll tell you when I get home. Kevin walks in. What's going on? And he starts, you know, doing all the fucking grind. I'm fucking shit. Fucking grind my teeth. Sleep study. And I'm like, shit. And I go, okay, I have questions. And he goes, she'll tell you. He's talking about his sister. She walks in. And she goes, yeah, they suggest a sleep study. Visit with your primary care physician and find out what's going on that's causing him, what we can do. Very vague. All they said to me was, schedule a visit. And I go, well, okay, so you want me to, or go see the doctor. I go, all right, so you want me to schedule with the doctor? Yes.
Okay.
Open up the MyChart app, schedule with the doc. That's happening tomorrow. Basically, all the information was given to me. And then they said, all right, here's it. And I go, what can I do? How can I help? Schedule a doctor's appointment. Okay, schedule a doctor's appointment. Just before the show started. Hey, Eric. Hey, buddy. What's going on? You know, now, if you don't have the video version of this, like if you're just listening to the audio, these jokes aren't going to make any sense. Because I'm not kidding you. This is the most visual he's ever been. He walks into the kitchen, and this is what he did. He goes, you know, this thing with, and the pain with, and I'm like, what the fuck? I go, what he's trying to tell me there is I finally get him talking and he's still moving the hands and doing all this. Is the dentist told me I didn't need to go and out of my way to make a doctor's appointment to get info about this, what's going on with when I sleep. I go, oh, yeah. They said that and as he's talking, he gives me an opportunity to speak, like my turn to talk. And I start talking. And then as soon as I start talking, he starts talking at the same time I'm talking. So then he's getting like antsy and kind of freaking out a little bit about this. Now, all he needs to say to me is, so we didn't say anything the first time, but we don't have to do this right away. They said just as long as you address it the next time you see your doctor. That's it. And but that took a while because when I'm trying to get the information and trying to ask him questions, he's like jumping on my words and not letting me finish my thought. And then so he says the same thing about 10 different times with 10 different mannerisms and shit like that. This takes place over about a minute. And I finally said, okay, I get it. I understand. I'll cancel the appointment, but I did not know any of this. No one said anything like that. You guys didn't share that information with me. You came in and you told me what you told me, and I did my job. Well, yeah, I know, but sometimes, you know, I forget. And I go, and honestly, that's fine. I don't have a problem. It takes a second to cancel the fucking thing on the app. I go, that's no problem. But what I was more annoyed with was the getting that out of him. And I keep having to remind myself, okay, stay patient. lobotomy. Just remember, lobotomy. This is what we're dealing with here. So I did. But, oh my God. So now I have to break the news to Pooh Bear that there's been a change in the plans, according to him. You know, I can't like impose my will on him. He still is in charge of his life. It's not like, you know, he's completely inept. He just annoys the fuck out of me. Not yesterday, but the day before. He wanted to make a sandwich. And he gets out the bread and he, believe it or not, it's going to sound ridiculous, but he uses double wrap bread. That's the old double wrap bread reference. And it's that Pepperidge Farm shit that Hot Wings spoke about. So he takes the first thing off and then the second one is the second wrapping around it. Okay. Now, we have a rule in this house with him. I said to him, I go, from now on, you know, anytime he grabs a knife, he stabs himself because his hands don't work. And I said to him, I go, no more knives. You are not allowed to touch sharp objects other than scissors. You can use scissors. You cannot use knives because I'm sick and tired of you coming in up the steps, touching the walls. There's blood all over the fucking walls. Looks like fucking Helter Skelter in here. Coming in that door behind me and saying, "I," and then sticking his fingers in his mouth because that's how he thinks you cure bloody hands is by sticking them in your mouth. I'm bleeding. I can't get it to stop bleeding. I can't open a Band-Aid. Okay, let me help you. So then I get the bleeding to stop. And then I say to him, no more knives. Don't touch goddamn knives. Use scissors. I have scissors everywhere here. Use the fucking scissors. Don't use knives. I got my eye on him and he's making the sandwich and he he's got the Pepperidge Farms. Sure enough, we've got this new set of knives. Remember I told you we got a bunch of set of knives. You got two sets of knives for Christmas and they're sharp as fuck. These ninja knives. They're actually called Ninja. And he grabs that fucking knife and he starts to go to work on that wrapper. And I see it and I go, just like a dog, I go, ah. And he looks at me, I go, no knives, scissors. You are not allowed to use knives. Fuck that shit. Put it away. Oh, so, God damn it. Uses the scissors. And about 10 minutes later, I go, dude, I'm sorry I got on you about the knife, but I've told you, no more knives. I can't have you slicing open your hand. Okay? It's because I care, but no more knives. I know. These silent portions is when I'm doing the gestures, and you're all missing it. If you're like half of my audience on Patreon is only audio. I don't know why you guys do that. What a waste. You're missing some great shit. When I do the Amanda impression and you're not watching, oh my God, it's the best. Trying to figure out why Adam wrote church on Wednesday. You mean because today's Ash Wednesday? Yeah, I'm not doing that shit. Fuck that. I'm not stepping in a Catholic church. Are you kidding me? It's not happening. All right. So that's kind of where a good portion of my morning was. Having to deal with that shit. My God. So annoying. I'm going to show you a video here. This is Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Picks up body camera. Cop has, I think, a bad guy in the car. The bad guy stole this dark colored car. The cop was able to pull him over, arrest him. Put him in the back of the cop car. The cop is walking towards, I don't know why he was out and about. It's where we picked the video up from his point of view, the body camera, obviously. He hears a shot go off. And watch how he reacts, because he's being fired upon.
Just fire! Just fire! Just fire!
He does three somersaults. He yells, shots fired, shots fired, shots fired.
Shots fired!
And there's another cop there who thinks, okay, there's a gunfight. Both these cops are now shooting into the police vehicle that has the bad guy in it.
I'm hit. What? I'm in the car. I was shot through the car. Oh.
Okay, so we're like, okay. We're figuring out now that cop was outside of the car. Bad guy's in the car. They don't know it, but the bad guy has a gun and has fired at this cop who says, I'm hit. So that's why he fired into his own cop car, and the other cop fired into his own cop car too to kill the bad guy. They did not kill the bad guy. The bad guy wasn't even hit, amazingly. That's a fucking miracle considering how many shots were fired. Let's watch it again. See if you can hear the gun go off from inside of the cop car.
Just fire! Just fire! Just fire!
Okay. Boy, that's weird. There it was. Did you hear that? That noise? Right there. That's the shot going off. You're like, wow, that's awful faint. Right there. And then it takes a while for him to realize that was a gun. You know, he takes a few more steps and then...
Just fired! Just fired! Just fired! Just fired!
I'm hit. Okay, he unloads the magazine. And then...
What?
I don't know what the fuck that was.
In the car! I shot through the car!
She shot me through the car. Everybody's freaking out. Officer down. Okay. Can anybody figure out what happened? Why would I be sitting here playing this with a wry smile on my face? He wasn't hit. He wasn't shot. The bad guy didn't shoot at him. The bad guy didn't have a gun. An acorn fell from the tree above the car, I shit you not, and it landed on the car. And that dumb fucking cop thought it was a gun and emptied an entire magazine. So did the other cop into that car. It's a miracle that the bad guy wasn't, well, the guy who stole the car wasn't hit. What the fuck? On November 12th, 2023, an incident. This incident led to the resignation of Deputy Jesse Hernandez. Responding to the disturbance involving Marquise Jackson, accused of grand theft auto and making threats, deputies apprehended him. During the ongoing investigation, Hernandez, the cop, interpreted an acorn hitting the patrol car as a gunshot, resulting in both Hernandez and Sergeant Beth Roberts discharging their weapons into the vehicle with Jackson handcuffed inside. No injuries. Subsequent investigations judged Hernandez's response as not objectionably reasonable, leading to his resignation, while Roberts was exonerated. Like the chick cop, she thought that, I mean, it's not her fault. Why did this come up? I'm curious. I don't know if it was just somebody made a post about it and I just happened to, it just happened to come across in my timeline, or maybe it's in the news or something again. But it's still fucking interesting that this is even a thing in the first place. My God. Someone wrote, how about stop hiring these paranoid, trigger-happy idiots for jobs that make them armed authority figures? Someone said, yeah, this is the guy that I want asking me for my license at 2 in the morning. How about screaming, I'm hit? My God. This person says, this is why you cannot hire ex-military for civilian detail. Yeah, I don't know anything about that. I can't say if that's true. Oh my God, the dude thought he was in Lethal Weapon. Imagine this is what Kyle Rittenhouse would be like as a cop. Holy shit. This person wrote, bro, I'm sorry, but those forward rolls while yelling shots fired had me crying and cracking up. I don't know what it is. And I know this is going to be disrespectful to people who were in the military. I think Chris was in the military. There are way too many people, and I don't know if they were assholes before they went in the military or became assholes in the military or became assholes when they got out of the military, but way too often when I find out that someone who is an asshole is ex-military, I always go, okay. All right, I get it. I see. I gotcha. And I don't know why that is. And it's not like it's me saying, you know, just making shit up. But that's based on personal experiences. Chris does not fit into that mold. And maybe that could be just the hodgepodge of people that enter the military. It might not mean anything. Nick, the electrician, says, God, I wish there was a video of those somersaults while yelling, shots fired! I'm hit! Can you imagine the discussions with the chief about what the fuck are you doing? Shots fired? I'm hit? Somersaults? 16 rounds into the back of my fucking car? You dumb motherfucker! Why did it take more than a year to fire this fuck? You asshole. You inept piece of shit. By the way, I'm just assuming that he's former military. I have no idea. But I still stand by that. What the fuck is up with former military guys? Like when I see former military guy and everybody's like, you know, kissing their ass. Oh, thank you for your service. Oh, my God. You're just such a warrior. Just love you. Thank you for your service. I'm always like, yeah, I might agree with them, but I got to get to know you first. You know, I may be in lockstep with them and thanking you and telling you that I love you and you're a hero and a patriot and all that other bullshit that you need to hear, apparently. But I'm not going to give you one goddamn compliment until I find out whether or not you beat your wife or if you're an asshole. So let's just say everybody who's in the military gets asterisk thank you for your service from EZ, subject to change upon further review. All right. And I'm going to go into it assuming you're a cock. Like when I'm following guy who's got license plate that says Persian war vet, I put on the brakes and go take the long way around. I don't want to be near that guy. Fuck that. Kenny says our cop friend is probably at home playing Call of Duty right now. I believe that. What a fucking idiot. Shots fired. I'm hit. Unloads every round. Can you imagine the dude in the back handcuffed? Like, what the fuck? What the fuck is going on? Nick says he probably rolled over a pointy acorn on the ground and it hurt a little. This is the type of story that should have made like the national news when it happened. I don't ever recall this story. My God. Someone said, quote, dude, it was an acorn. Wow, that's nuts. Thanks, Ben. Okay. I don't know if this would come as a surprise to you or not, but during the Super Bowl, there was an ad that we all need to love each other and wash each other's feet. And it may not come as a surprise to you that ad came. I know where you live, maybe in whatever community, maybe somewhere in Pennsylvania, or maybe Mormon country, or maybe Southern Baptist. You may think that where you live is Jesus-y, but where I live is more Jesus-y than where you live. Okay. We're so Jesus-y here that we hate people. That's the level of Jesus-y that we are. So it should be no surprise that the Super Bowl ad where everybody was washing people's feet, which is what Jesus did with the apostles, according to the Bible, which, by the way, I've had to do that before. I had to have my feet washed back in the Catholic days for Easter Mass, not part of Easter Mass. It was Easter, maybe Good Friday, maybe Holy Thursday. I think it was Holy Thursday. A few of us parishioners had to be in front of the whole parish in chairs, and we would take off our shoes and socks. And then Father Ron came up to each of us, and he washed our feet symbolically. It's part of the Easter tradition. I know I'm getting some judgment. I know that there is some judgment from some of you about this. I admit it's a little, if I was a priest, I would make feet washing part of every fucking mass. So like the whole mass is I had to wash all the feet in the whole place. And I mean all of them, guys, girls, babies, kids, old people. I'm going to wash some fucking feet. Tyler says Eric was biting his lip looking at the soapy old lady feet, without a doubt. Well, that ad came from an organization right here. Like they invented the whole concept for the ad. Audio check, video check. This will tell the story. By the way, that person right there, when they, in the print version of this, they said an obvious gay man. And it's like, okay, all right, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But if you were to take this person right here and try to get the locals here in Knutsonville and the surrounding areas to wash this person's feet, they're going to pull out a Rambo knife and cut this person's feet off and stick them up his ass or her ass.
I remember seeing that during the second quarter of the Super Bowl. The He Gets Us campaign aired the ad titled, Who Is My Neighbor? It's the second time you've seen the ad from the group in the big game. The one that got some backlash, the nonprofit behind the ads, had ties to anti-LGBTQ legislation, and so did a donor, the co-founder of Hobby Lobby.
I don't know what the fuck I'm doing here. Hang on, let me back this up.
The one that got some backlash, the nonprofit behind the ads, had ties to anti-LGBTQ legislation, and so did a donor, the co-founder of Hobby Lobby. Well, now, He Gets Us is being run by a new nonprofit called Come Near, but some things didn't change, such as the company behind the ads, or Sam Langstra.
Okay, so the background is the local company made the actual video of it. They made it, but the previous year, the people who put the Jesus ads out were bigots, Hobby Lobby asshole, and people who hate gay people. They put the ad out. This year, it's a different organization that put the ad out who, I guess, doesn't hate the gays.
So is it all together.
Yeah, Brand Haven, a Grand Haven-based ad agency, was brought back to help craft the spot. I sat down with their president to talk strategy and why He Gets Us chose to spend millions on marketing.
For
60 seconds on Super Bowl Sunday, millions of Americans witnessed what Jesus did.
What did he mean when he was washing the feet of the disciples?
By the way, they do a cover version of an amazing song on that ad by INXS called Never Tear Us Apart. Oh, my God. Great song.
At the Last Supper. He even washed the feet, you know, of Judas, who was going to betray him, of Peter, who was going to deny him.
A woman outside a planning center, a migrant arriving by bus. A black man and a police officer.
We're looking at just points of tension.
And the cultural other.
Okay, I guess this is supposed to be the gay guy. Because he's got roller skates, I guess. Boy, that, look at that look. That resulted in sex, there's no question.
Washing their feet.
When there are differences, we can still treat each other with the kind of respect and dignity that we saw Jesus treat everybody that he encountered.
What a message. That's terrific. There is that all great. This is all fantastic. I don't have a problem with any of this.
But did the commercial connect with its target audience, those skeptical of Christianity?
We found there's quite a bit of familiarity. As you start talking to people, they're like, no, I've seen foot washing.
The ad was the eighth most engaging, according to TV outcomes company EDO. While the 15-second Who Is My Neighbor took 18th out of nearly 100 spots.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
And was the ad money an estimated $17 million well spent? Critics say it could have been put toward the poor.
I hear them. So people ask us about the cost a lot, and is that too much money to spend?
Brand Haven responded, saying they want their content to inspire such generosity.
We think something needs to change, and we're trying to use He Gets Us as a driver of that change.
And mentioned a Saturday event where He Gets Us handed out 35,000 pounds of groceries.
Tony Dungy.
Groceries.
We are not attempting to do anything that is political, but it is controversial. I would acknowledge that.
In a year where presidential candidates will dominate the ad arena, these commercials are designed to be different and perhaps disruptive.
In an environment.
I don't know about that. Look at these two, though. They're like both putting their feet in the tub at the Cracker Barrel. They got the Basset Hound or the Bloodhound there, and they're drinking a brew. I don't know if I'd be comfortable putting my feet in a tub with one of you folks. Well, I take it back. If I'm feeling gay, I might, you know how sometimes I do, I might, all right? I might do that. With the ladies, of course I would.
Environment where all of those things are common in our experience, what is it, what is a solution?
Now, while the biggest live television event of the year has passed, the NFL draft, the Olympics, and the election are all still on the calendar. As for He Gets Us stance on LGBTQ issues, Brand Haven says, watch the ads and see for yourself.
There you go.
In studio, Sam
Lanster.
They
love the gays,
Fox 17 News.
I think they're all about gays. I think that they're doing well. I like the ads. The network should charge double for those stupid ads, says Tyler. Chris says, bring Kevin to that. Bring the NFK to wash his feet. Oh, my God. It would take me 6 months to get his feet acceptable. All right. I got to go to a Zoom call. Thanks, folks. I appreciate you so much. I'll talk to you down the road. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Oh, God. All the shit's hitting the fan. You know it's bad when you're already embarrassed, and then all of a sudden there's pizza. Imagine if you're watching the show for the first time, like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Pizza. Even when I'm like early, it's wrong. Because I wrote a text to you all saying, hey, show's about to start. Starting in 3 minutes. Hurry, hurry. It's going to start at noon. But no, that's not even close. 11 a.m. is what I meant to write. What an asshole. I just cannot get out of my own way when it comes to time and this show. It's remarkably embarrassing. Okay, but yeah, I have to get after it because I have a lunch date with a couple of my gay friends at noon, and we're going to gay out, and that's going to be the end of it. Welcome to the Patreon bonus. I got an email from my pal Chris D., who listens to the show, who's, you know, he sends me all these clips of Ben doing his weather update on the X's and Bros show. And holy cow. He feels bad about it. He's afraid that Ben's going to get hurt by that. But I'm telling you, he's not. You may have heard it on the show yesterday. We had Ben on. Because Chris put it in his own brain that somehow he was offending Ben with all of these clips. But it's really not on Ben. Well, no, it is. I mean, Ben's the one who says, yeah, hey, I'm great. Things are great. The weather. And all I can tell you is that Chris has sent me yet another clip that says Weatherman Ben today. Ben's weather updates. Now, I don't really know that Ben is that interested in weather. I don't recall Ben ever being that interested in weather. Ben's approach to this show is be ready with weather updates, be ready with traffic updates, I guess. And then he watches a bunch of sports. Now, here's a problem. If in a sporting event, something really incredible happens and he witnesses it, like let's say a guy on the Pistons in the middle of the game starts humping the ball at midcourt and then is like jizzing on fans in the front row. And that's interesting. Something to talk about. But Ben has not really shown the acumen to be able to, I don't know, discuss it. Because typically we just get Ben going, I think he's thinking too much. I've been trying for a decade to try to get Ben out of that mode where you get the urge to punch the words out of him. And part of the problem is, like, I would do that too. And in fact, sometimes I do if I'm thinking what I have to say. Don't think. That's Yoda, right? Don't think. There is only do. There is only try. No try, only do. Something like that. Just be Yoda. Do like Yoda would. And just fucking talk. I know you can do it. Something happens, though. When the mic is off, he's normal. But you put him in front of a fucking microphone, and he just like, He doesn't do that on stage when he's doing comedy. And he can even see the audience there. My God. Chris K says, weather's what you talk about when you have nothing else to say. No, bullshit. Weather does, you can talk about the weather. There is something interesting in the weather if it's interesting. Or if you can say something interesting about it. I mean, if you try, you can. Sure, you can kind of square peg round hole it, but I don't know. Whatever. I have no idea. Kenny mentioned someone that was in the chat yesterday, that Dixie Normus person. I don't know who that was either. I have a feeling it was a former listener trolling and wasn't that great at it, because using a PA prank name was the big giveaway there. I don't know. I might be wrong. But that's how I where my brain tends to go in moments like that. A lot of high point moments from today's free podcast. This is almost like an after podcast podcast. The moment that with how there were two key big developments that, again, I didn't plan on. Amanda's e-car that she said is so funny. Oh, my God. It's so funny. Telling you, 9.999 times out of 10, if Amanda says this is great, it's just not, we don't have the same sensibility. She likes Matt Rife. That's awful. I shouldn't say that. I've never heard that fucker's comedy. I'm just going by what other people have said. It's typically not my game, is just go with the flow because someone else said it. But from what I hear, that guy sucks. Maybe he's good. I don't know. And then the brawl between Corey and Ashley. That was just ugly. Oh, my God. Okay. I'm hoping you can't hear the dog chewing on the toy in the background. I think you can. Darla's just going to town on a damn bone. Excuse me. Closer to home. A little bit of background here. For as much as I've talked to you about all the nonsense going on in Ottawa County with these super conservatives taking over the business of the county, revenge politics. These people were pissed off because their stupid hand clapping churches were shut down during the pandemic and that they had to wear a stupid mask. So they mobilize and were able to win all these key seats, and then all the shit has rolled downhill since then. So no need going much further back than that. But one of the things that's happened is the super conservative Jesus-y, and I say Jesus-y in air quotes because it's really not. They're warped. These are warped, sick people who have hijacked Christianity and turned it into bigotry, frankly. One of their things that they do is to start these meetings, they have one of their wacko church pastors say a prayer. So then that got the ball rolling with all these other religious organizations saying, hey, well, all right, can we do the invocation? And one of them was one of these was an Episcopalian church, which is very welcoming. There's no one is left out in the Episcopalian church. You have women leading the services. You have gays leading the services. It's okay for a man and a dude, a man and a man to get married, woman and woman, transgender. Come on, we love you all. We love it. One of those deals, you know. So the guy who runs the Episcopalian church is like, hey, can I say the invocation? And they're like, they ignored him. Ignored emails. Darla's going to start to hump in a second. And then she'll get comfortable. That's how she rolls. Watch this. Look at, she's like crawling on top of him, trying to get like leverage. Poor O'Neill. Look at the patience on that. And then finally she just settles right down. That's remarkable. So the Episcopalian pastor is like, hey, can I see the invocation? And it falls on deaf ears. Nobody responds to him. Calls, email. Finally, he sues. A little bit of time passes. Joe Moss and the leaders of Ottawa County go, oh, yeah, it just got lost in the spam bin. No big deal. Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course you can. to the invocation. So he shows up the other day on Tuesday to do his invocation. And one of the people that is on the commission, one of these wackos, his name is Roger Belknap. You know, he hates fucking gay people. He has on his laptop a message of, it's a website, like it says like savethechildren.com or something like that. And you go there and it's a website peddling one of these nonsense, quote unquote, documentaries about the war on children. I think it was called waronchildren.com. I'm saying it, giving it all the publicity. I know, I realize, but it's important. And I don't want you to watch it. I went there and I was like, okay, this is just stupid. This is one of these pages that is like, the film is about how the gays are like stealing kids out of their beds and then trafficking them. And drag shows are only intended to groom children to get dicks in their ass. It's this type of logic. Assuming that anybody who is gay or transgender or is in a drag show is a sexual pervert, a predator. That's what these wackos equate are gays and lesbians, transgender, queer, all that shit. That's what they are. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So that's what this quote-unquote documentary is all about. So he's got his laptop open, and it says waronourchildren.com, while the Episcopalian religious figure, the pastor of the local Episcopalian church, is doing the invocation. So, I mean, what the fuck? You might hear Darla squeal a little bit, by the way. It's really cute when she does this. Listen. So damn cute. Uh-oh. She's starting to get loud. Darla, it's okay. She'll keep doing that until she falls asleep. It's okay. Stop. I'm hoping you can hear that. Maureen writes, she's just a widow baby. Darla. Okay, so, all right. What does she want when she does that? A great question. I'm not 100% sure. I think she's just tired and grumpy. When dogs, you know how like when a baby gets fussy, when a baby or Kenny gets fussy, you get like that type of, you know, that's what that is. She just needs to go to bed. Hang on. I got to go get her. Oh. All right. It's difficult to do it this way, though, to do the show. So now I'm further away from the mic. My sound is all hollow. All right. Well, I give you all this background because the pastor of this church finally had his big moment. And there's a picture of him at you can't really see much. It's just his back when he's doing the invocation. But while he's doing the invocation, the commissioner, Roger Belknap, has that laptop open, and you can plainly see waronourchildren.com. Bear with me. I have to control the mouse with my left hand, and that's never good. You know why I have to control the mouse with my left hand? Because I have this baby with me. On Tuesday, Reverend Jared Kramer delivered his meeting. This is the prayer. I pray for those who have been and continue to be impacted by decisions of this board. I pray for families and households that are struggling because of reduced resources from the health department, because they wiped out the health. Well, they tried to decimate their budget. There's all sorts of shit happening, especially those who will be more food insecure, those who will struggle to get the mental health support they need. It talks about how this moment came to be with the lawsuit. Talks about how the church openly supports the gay community. He said, God, I pray for queer kids who've been told they're broken and whose attempts to understand who they are have been maligned. I pray for queer adults who increasingly don't feel safe, much less welcome, walking on the streets with their beloved. And that's what I'm talking about with my daughter. I was like, you better watch out. Head on a swivel, and I suggest getting a pistol. Kramer sued, hoping to be added to the invocation rotation and see the county adopt a non-discrimination policy for the role. He told Fox 17 he believes he's been added to the rotation, but only time will tell. As Kramer delivered his two-minute prayer, directly in front of him was a sign displayed by Commissioner Roger Belknap's computer. It read, thewaronchildren.com. In fact, I do have a picture of that. There's this dick. That's what the pastor was seeing when he was praying. And Belknap is proudly displaying it. Pastor says, I was also very disappointed that one of the commissioners chose to post a sign in protest to my presence. Belknap, part of Ottawa Impact, spoke to reporters following the meeting about his sign. He explained why he chose Tuesday to display his message in front of more than 1,000 viewers online and in person. I don't know. Maybe because we had a minister that attended today that was a sponsor of that event. He's referring to the minister being at the Grand Haven Pride Festival. He was the one of the many people that started the first ever Grand Haven Pride Festival. So you think there was no hyperbole in what I was saying, that he thinks if a gay person is around a child, that they're going to try to rape the child. That's his logic. He posted the website that's peddling that crap for that guy to see. And then the way he answered, this is so stupid. Why did you put that sign there? I don't know. Maybe because we had a minister that attended today that was a sponsor of that event, referring to the Pride Parade. It's like, wow. The willingness to show his ass there is remarkable to me. He thinks that because you're at a Pride event, or because it's a Pride event, it's a war on children. Unbelievable. And then the gutless way that he says, I don't know. I mean, don't be a pussy about it. If you're going to say it, just say, yeah, well, I believe that. And say exactly what's on your mind. You've got that opportunity. You got a mic in front of you. Cameras are on you. Say what you want to say. I think right now, this amount of time that Darla has been in my arms while I do the show, as she's actually falling asleep. That's remarkable. Kenny, when Kenny asks, what does she want when she does that? I think I have now figured out what she wants. She wants to be right here, right now. Well, anyway, Roger Belknap's a dick. If you see him in the wild, tell him so. All right, I'm going to go put her down now because she's getting a little silly. Hello. Having kids. You ever run into somebody who said, yeah, we're getting a dog first before we have a kid so we can know what it's like to have a baby? Uh-oh. 1,000,000% different. Does not compute. If you have a baby and then think, oh, hey, I can handle a puppy because I've had a baby. You can't. You're going to be pissed off. You're not ready for it. You're never ready for it. Your baby doesn't walk behind a chair and take a shit on the ground. Conversely, if you're ready, if you take care of a puppy, that doesn't make you ready for a baby. Entirely different thing, you know? Maybe just because your mind is always occupied when you have either a baby or a puppy around you. I would say that doing the show while taking care of puppies at the same time might be more impressive than just doing the show for more than 5 years. Kenny says she wanted you to hold her like a baby and give her attention rather than talking into the mic to invisible people. Exactly. Which is why I should have called the dog Amanda or Kenny. That would have made all the sense in the world if I called the dog Kenny or Amanda. All right. Meanwhile, the guy who invented the Pop-Tart died. And he lived right here in Grand Rapids. He was 96 years old. As I understand it, he worked for some biscuit company many, many years ago. And they said, we need something that's like this. It's got to be quick and easy. Just open it up and you just eat it. It's a breakfast food. Okay, great. So he made like the first one and it tasted like fuck. So then he kept at it. And then finally they're like, oh yeah, you got it. You perfected it. Now, is this the guy who we would want to talk to who invented the cinnamon only one with like no frosting on it? Because that's bullshit. I don't think I did this story yesterday. Did I do this story? I think I might have referenced it, but I don't think I actually did it. All right, this is the story behind the dude. That's not the dude. He's 96. That's his son. So his son is old as fuck. His grandson is probably like my age. Here you go. This is the story about Pop-Tart inventor, and he just croaked.
He would be amazed at the big deal we're making of this. He was...
Sorry if the audio was low.
Pop-Tarts, the most well-known toaster treat in America. So well-known, a movie is being made centered around the crazy good pastry.
What?
He knew about it, and people had told him about it.
Okay. Now, I don't know. Maybe there's something to it. I mean, there was a movie about the guy who came up with McDonald's. Maybe there's just a great story that's in there somewhere. They're making a movie about Pop-Tarts.
And he said to me, have you heard that? Is that for real? And I said, yeah, I think it is. We're going to have to watch that. So he was,
wait,
he just,
I might have missed something.
Own toaster treat in America.
Okay. Dad, who's dead, said, oh my God, they're making a movie about Pop-Tarts.
Have you heard that? Is that for real? And I said, yeah, I think it is. We're going to have to watch that. So he just stands amazed at what has happened over the past 60 years.
But what many people don't know is that the founder, William Post, also known as Bill, is from right here in Grand Rapids. According to his son, Dan Post, Bill died this past Saturday. He was 96 years old. Dan says his father was much more than just the face behind the Pop-Tart.
You know, I would say that's just a small part of who he was. He was so much more than the Pop-Tart story. That's what he's known for in, you know, in other circles, but to his friends and family.
In the cereal world, he was known as the creator of the Pop-Tart, but in the group sex world, he was known as the Anaconda.
He was just sweet old Bill. My dad wasn't.
Oh, I hate this. You know, it's going to end up starting over. It's going to want to play an ad. It's going to want to break my heart.
Say that's just a doesn't.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. Look at. Well, this is awesome. You assholes.
He was a very humble. There wasn't much age difference. So we did a lot of trips together. He especially liked to bike. And so we would bike in places that were flat, like the Netherlands.
Well, there's a lot of details here that none of it being interesting. You would think that if the guy invented the Pop-Tart, we'd have. Did he live a sexy life at all in any way? Did anything happen? How much money does he have? That's what I want to know. How much money do you make from inventing the Pop-Tart? Because in my mind, this guy should be so fucking rich, it's unbelievable.
Bill Post was raised on the south side of Grand Rapids, one of seven children of Dutch immigrants. His son Dan was just 14 years old when his father drafted up the idea of the Pop-Tart. At the time, Bill was the plant manager of Heckman, later known as the Keebler Company.
When you were 14 years old and growing up, did you ever think that the Pop-Tart would make such a name for itself?
No, I thought it was, he would often bring home samples of new products, and I thought, oh, here we go again. We were the
Dad, you're going to make me eat this shit.
The guinea pigs, because he would come home every night and say, try these. And believe me, the first ones would not have made the market. A little cardboard.
This one's filled with egg. Here you go. This is the new spinach tart. You're going to love this new arugula Pop-Tart.
Kept getting better.
Now, 60 years later, Don says his children and
I love that. Look at that. That just looks fantastic. Everything about that Pop-Tart is amazing. They're so goddamn good that because they're the best when they're in the toaster, but you can just eat them out of the package. I have difficulty putting them in the toaster when I'm looking at it because it looks so fucking good.
And grandchildren keep a box of Pop-Tarts on hand, not only as a sweet treat, but as a way to remember Grandpa.
They all have them in their cupboard because Grandpa, great-grandpa for them, always had a supply.
Can you imagine if, like,
Pop-Tarts?
You know, he could have made any Pop-Tart and he brought home, like, a pussy juice one. You know, the old pussy juice Pop-Tart. There had to have been at least one time that he did, like, some type of gag one. And said, hey, honey, this tastes like you. Hold on a second. Hey, no. Nick says, I put butter on my Pop-Tarts. Such a lard ass. Yeah, I tried that once too, and I didn't like it. I think there was a bit where I did where you make a fucking grilled cheese out of them. And that was shit too. Linda says, I've never had a Pop-Tart or a toaster strudel. Her face may have at one point looked like one, but she has not had a toaster strudel. Just imagine your face when you were dating that old guy. That's what a toaster strudel looks like. Chris writes, the food that built America has an episode about this and about the dude. Wow. She says, I've bought them. I don't know where that came from, Linda. I'm so sorry. Linda says, I've bought them for my kid, but never tried one. Pop-Tarts look like they taste like cardboard. I'd try a strudel, though. No, you got to try both of them. Seriously, they're fantastic. And that's what Aaron points out. He says, I'm so miswired from years of listening to this guy, meaning me, that every time I hear strudel, I can only think of jizz. Well, that's what it looks like. Wouldn't it be great, though, if your jizz actually tasted like what was on a toaster strudel? Because I would be eating it all the time. I mean, I'd be like, oh my God, this is delicious. I can't stop jizzing in my hand right in my mouth every time. I think there should be a product developed where either you take a pill or you get an injection or it's something you eat that makes your jizz taste like delicious, like the most delicious jizz ever. That would be fantastic. I would not be able to get enough jizz. It would make me gay. Linda says, is trivia night happening? We can bring toaster and some Pop-Tarts. It's a good idea. Well, I don't know. We have 2 weeks until trivia. And I have gotten no information. I would give it a very small chance right now. Kenny says, kids in Asian countries don't even know what Pop-Tarts are. Ever see those YouTube videos where they put them on a plate in front of them and they look confused? They don't even know it's food. Okay, I got to go to a lunch date, so I'm going to go do that. Thank you for being here. I love you. So glad we all get along. Have a good one, folks. Till next time. Bye-bye. Enough dicking around. Today is a day that some of you might actually be able to remember what you were doing when I tell you about this thing that we're going to go back in time and look at once again. All right. You might be able to, in fact, as this information percolates, you may be able to tell me, oh, I remember right where I was when I found this out. I know where I was when I heard what I heard that told me you were finding out. Today is the day, 8 years ago, but this happened. Hold on a minute. There's another goddamn wormhole. That's wrecking my brain. Let me start that all over again. Jesus. Almost fucked up the whole thing. Part of my brain exploded like yours did earlier. All right, now this is why I'm here and not there.
There's a big change tonight to one of West Michigan's most popular radio programs.
Eric Zane, who had been with the Free Beer and Hot Wings show for more than a decade, he is no longer a part of that show. WZZM 13's Greg Gehring is now live in the Information Center with more. Greg?
The Free Beer and Hot Wings show is a nationally syndicated program that originates from WGRD in Grand Rapids. Eric Zane had been off the air for several days before the show confirmed...
Look how skinny. Oh, no.
His permanent departure today. A statement.
I'm talking with my hands. That's Eric Zaitunian talking right there. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
On the Free Beer and Hot Wings website reads in part, our parent company and Zane have severed ties, which means that it is impossible for us to carry on with him. The show's current members.
Oh, there's Joe. Everybody remembers Joe.
Say they're not at liberty to say why Zane was let go, but we did speak with the show's hosts earlier today.
We'll move forward and we'll do the best show that we can.
What's the smirk on Greg's face?
Still have the syndication to worry about and the local WGRD station and our own livelihoods. And we have no doubt that Zane will do well, too.
He has aged so much. And I mean, I've aged, but he's really aged. He looks like he's 24 there. And now he looks like he's 64. Hot Wings, yes, he's also aged dramatically. He's much fatter in the face like I am.
Future. Zane also confirmed from the show.
There's my publicity shot when I had the haircut that I got at Auschwitz R Us Hair Care.
In a series of tweets, one of which reads, "I would be remiss if I didn't say that I will always cherish my time with Free Beer and Hot Wings and will always love them very much."
That didn't age well.
WZZM 13.
That aged like milk, as they say, as the kids say.
Morning News airs a segment with Free Beer and Hot Wings every day just before 6 in the morning, and we'll let you know when we learn more about this situation.
Situation. So where were you when you found that information out? People were pissed. People were pissed about that. At the time, I did love them very much, but I was very emotional at the time, and things hadn't gotten weird. All their fault, by the way. Ashley talks about seeing that image. My Pumpkin Joe. My God. Where were you? I was laying in my bed, and I knew that the show was starting, and I turned on the radio and I heard Greg make the announcement. It was so awkward. It was so fucked up. People were so goddamn pissed off. It was bad. I was trending on Twitter. My name, I mean, you know, enough people look at it or whatever the fuck, and my name popped up as trending on Twitter. Holy shit. Nick says, "I was watching Anthony Cumia. That's how I first heard of you. He talked about it. He covered it." I remember that, too. That was one of the things that happened that I was like, you know, that's a big deal. If Anthony's talking about it, that's a big deal. But speaking of that, I had a conversation with some radio people yesterday. These are the things that I'm going to talk about that I wouldn't talk about on the free show. I'm actually going to talk about them now. This is why you sign up for this shit, because it's more of a forum fit for this type of material. Linda says, "Someone saw that you were scrubbed from the website over the weekend, so I had a hint early." Yeah, they didn't do a good job. The whole thing is fucked up. I'm glad it is the way it is now. Maureen says, "I didn't know you yet." So I met with a couple of people that I'm friends with who happen to work at a radio station. And, well, I'm in discussions about, will I ever wind up working at that radio company? And there's a couple of things behind the scenes that are keeping that from happening. All right. I don't want to get too far into this, but I will. That's not the interesting part of this. The interesting part of this is one of the two guys that's sitting across from me is like the number two. And he's having, is getting challenged not only from the number one, sort of, but the people that are above number one. But they're all kind of thawing about me. They had like an idea about, hey, I don't know if this is a good idea because of this reason, that reason, this reason. And I'm with number two and I'm with number three. And they're both like, we're solely in your corner. We want you to get here, but it's going to take some time. I go, hey, whatever. I got all the time in the world. Honestly, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, that's fine. It's cool. And then number two says, let me ask you this. How would you feel? Would you be able to do an hour from home? It's actually just 45 minutes, three segments. of you doing a talk show like you are now, can you pull it off without like swearing? I go, well, yeah, of course. He goes, okay, why don't you do that? We're going to have it so you do an hour and we're going to put it on this station that no one listens to every day. And I said, yeah, absolutely. Done. Let's do it. And he goes, that way, you know, we do that for a period of time. It's, you know, it's kind of like dipping your toe in the water of EZ. That's what that is. Company has a number of other radio stations that you've heard of. This one you don't even know of. Nobody listens to it. But they're dying for programming. I go, yeah, I'll do that shit. I go, I'm going to talk. I go, they go, well, what, how would you do it? I go, well, I'll just do like I do this show now. I talk about whatever I want to talk about, whatever is interesting to me. And he goes, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you talk about. I go, oh, I'm going to, you know, I attack people all the time. I attack Ottawa Impact. He goes, I don't care. I don't care what you talk about. Just don't swear. And don't have me losing the license. I go, that's awesome. Linda says, I hope they're paying you. Now, here's where some of you are going to be like, what? Because if this goes through, they won't. It's literally gratis. The way you're like, well, how the hell? Why would you? Huh? Look, this is called, trust me on this, especially in this industry. This is called stepping over nickels to pick up dollars, which is the exact same thing I said to him. I go, I'd absolutely do it. First of all, it'd be fun. I like doing this. And it's 45. Kenny gives me the face palm. It's 45 minutes out of my day. The way, why? Okay, I know you have questions. Why free? First of all, they don't have any money for this radio station. None. And you have, okay, you got to understand, my name is not a pedigree. It is to audience members, but to management, I am a fucking bridge burner. I destroy bridges. And everywhere behind me, there's blown up bridges. Now, not only am I a bridge destroyer, I know how to build the goddamn bridge after I destroy it. Fuck it up, build it up. Fuck it up, build it up. I have fucked up this bridge before. So, playing the long game, this is how you do it. Kenny says, radio's dying, man. I know you love it, but damn. Well, okay, yes. But first of all, you got to understand. I don't need this. All right? I don't have to have this. I want this. I want to be on the radio. In addition, I want that to be my secondary gig comparatively to this. This is always going to be my number one. Aaron says, man, if you're so well off that you can work for free, maybe lower the price of Patreon to $1. Well, look, that's the only reason why I can work for free. Don't get fresh, Aaron Smith. If you think for a second that the $10 a month you pay for the hours upon hours per week that you get of your old pal EZ is a bit too steep and too rich for your blood, I don't know what to tell you. Hang on, let me finish this. But trust me, I know what I'm doing. So then you, Tyler writes, I see what you're doing. It's called sticking your tip in. This is what you do. You ever hear, first one's free, next one you're paying for. That's what this is. That's exactly what this is. Kenny says, anyway, okay, recording an hour and sending it to them or doing it live? What time would it air? Don't know. Well, I do know. Yes, I would record it. I would record it. I'd talk for 15 minutes, three 15-minute segments. This is not hard. One-hour show. This is a piece of cake. And nothing else changes in the thing that matters the most, you. Whether I get up before I normally do and get it done or later on in the day, this is a fart in the wind. All right? So, now this is not for sure. This is not for sure. But I have set myself up to make this a possibility. This is step number one. So I know some of you are like, oh. Look, the only investment I have, the only thing I have to lose is 45 minutes a day. 45 minutes a day, and then I'm winning an intense amount of favor with some people who I'm looking to help me not only in getting back on the radio, but if I'm back on the radio, that helps the podcast. One hand washes the other. Okay? That's what this is all about. And I'm very fortunate because for the past 5 years, I have managed to, do this thing and get it to the level where I can support my family and we all enjoy each other and we have a laugh, you know. I have some people that will say this version of EZ is the most honest, thoughtful, and engaging and hilarious and fun. I know I enjoy doing it. So that's what's going on. That's what I wanted to tell you about on the free podcast. And it was just burning on my brain. And it was like, I was dying. I was like, I got to tell these people. And I was like, fuck no. I don't want to. This meeting just happened. Aaron says, it seems like things should be the other way around. They should be blowing you to get you back on. Well, no. First of all, like I said, I've burned bridges. That's a problem. I think had I not, yes. So this is me. I did this, but who gives a fuck? All right. Would I burn them again? Probably not. I hope not. Aaron writes, congrats though. Let's not say congrats. First of all, nothing's set in stone. It's just being talked about right now. And it's not that big of a deal. But it is something I am excited about. Tyler says, will you bring on Ben Glaze for some hard-hitting weather and traffic reports? Incredible. How about that? The other thing I want to get into. I pulled the plug this morning after I got done with the free podcast on Trivia Night. This is how this unfolded for me. I have this this group of people that want to start doing live events. And we're tied together. And they're like, yeah, we want to do trivia. And this is the plan. Trivia will be quarterly, maybe monthly. You'd host it, team trivia. You have the question. People write it down. The teams are there. People show up. They buy their tickets online. Packed house. Sponsors all over the place. When they pay their money, they get food. They get drink tickets for first couple free. Otherwise, they go buy them. Stevie, relax. I'm giving you the story. It's just, I'll get there. I got to fill in the blanks here. This is what I thought it was going to be. Okay. Winning team, $500. Runner up, $300. Third place, one, you know, shit like that. Everybody goes home laughing, half drunk, free stuff along the way. Bellies are full. Designated driver's got a car full of drunks. 2 hours in and out on a Thursday night. this is what it was going to be. Everybody has to pay $20 at the door. You walk in, we play trivia, and then you go home. Nothing else. No drink tickets, no food. You can pay for drinks. No cash, no prizes. You're just playing. Next to no sponsors, no money coming in, and unsatisfied audience members who look like they just got screwed in the ass. I floated the idea of this on the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast, and I could see the scrunched up faces. I was like, boy, nobody's going to like this. We're going to look like assholes up there. So right away, I'm like sending voice messages off to the powers that be. Like, yeah, this is priced too high, and we got to have some prizes. And then it bothered me all night, and I woke up, and this is less than 2 weeks away. I go, yeah, we're not ready for this. This is not what when we planned this, it's not at all what we planned. It's a shadow of that. And we're going to look like idiots. And that's not, I am not okay with that at all. Especially when I bounce it off people. They were like, oh boy, we hate this. This sucks. And you're right. So I said, look, when we're a month out, we should be done. They're like, well, I think the people, they immediately backed off. And I go, look, if 2 weeks before you haven't marketed it, other than me mentioning it a few times on my podcast, you're going to have to market it. You're going to have to sell all the sponsorships, which you're not. The idea of people walking up and paying at the door. Let's say there's 100 people there. They all have, that's going to take forever. We don't have any personnel to do all this shit. We barely know how the goddamn game's going to work. And then there's no prizes. This is not good. We need to have all of that stuff done and taken care of in order for this to be a successful event. This is set up to fail. This is going to be, people are going to be pissed off. So I go, they go, well, when do you want to do it? I go, I don't know. I go, this is what I'm going to do. Let's go back to when we first started to meet about this. I'm going to go to those notes and list all of the ideas we had, which we were supposed to do. Then do them. Get all that shit done. And then I will host your event. But I'm not going to go up there in front of all these people and just deliver shit. I mean, fuck, man. So they go, well, when do you want to do this? March, April? I go, no timeline. You can't. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I think if we were to put a date on it, then you immediately have to get all these things taken care of. And if you're not done by a certain date, then we extend it again. There's no fucking way. Holy shit. Was that a weight lifted off of my chest after that phone conversation? My God. Really, really strange. Is there just a wormhole again? I think there might have been. Something might have just happened. Thought I might have just heard some audio. Okay. Closer to home. I had talked with you about how in our beautiful Ottawa County, which I've covered extensively on this show, and I hope this is interesting for you folks who don't live here, but I try to paint a picture so you can kind of grasp this. This is talked about all around the country, this exact county right here. By the way, Kenny writes a good joke. He says, good call. They don't need to be trying to make fire festival trivia happen. That's funny. Jesus Christ, that's great. Boy, O'Neill's having a dream. So if you recall, the right-wing wackos at Ottawa County, they got threatened with a lawsuit by the pastor of the gay church. And the pastor of the gay church is also the guy in Ottawa County who organized the Pride Festival in Ottawa County. And that's enough to piss off the powers that be in that commission, these right-wing wackos. And one of those commissioners is Roger Belknap. And he's got, like, somebody he knows who made some stupid documentary that's a bunch of bullshit about if your child happens to run into a gay person on the street, they're going to be abducted and raped. And there's a website that where that you can watch that goddamn movie. The gay priest or the priest from the gay church says, I want to do the invocation. Nobody gets back to him. He threatens a lawsuit. They allow him finally to come in this past Tuesday while he's doing the invocation. Roger Belknap has his laptop open where it says waronourchildren.com, which is the website you go to for this right-wing wacko stupid fake documentary about child trafficking and gay people and all that shit. Okay, so that happened, and that turned out to be ugly. Now, because he did that, because Belknap did that, that now may have stoked the lawsuit and, like, put it all back on the table. Sign displayed during prayer may reignite Ottawa County lawsuit. Now, every time these butt fucks turn around, they get sued by someone else. They've cost the people of Ottawa County, the good people of Ottawa County, tons of money out of our pockets that should go to our services for, you know, the health department, our roads, our police, shit like that, food for the poor. Instead, they take that money and use it to pay legal fees because they keep getting sued. So the Reverend Jared Kramer of Gay Church, he speaks. Belknap has the waronchildren.com. They asked Belknap why. He goes, oh, I don't know. Maybe because we had a minister that attended today that was the sponsor of that event, the Gay Pride. That's why the fucker put the sign up. Kramer had filed a religious discrimination lawsuit about praying in the church. All right. The idea was let him do the prayer. He'll drop the lawsuit. Now, because of the sign, that lawsuit might now be jump-started again, supposedly. Because now the lawyer for gay priest, gay pastor, says that the sign proves that her client's request to lead the county in prayer was ignored. Might be a stretch, but they're going to try to connect the dots and fuck up these far-right assholes and make life difficult for them. Just another day in the life of our beautiful Ottawa County here. Speaking of local politics, I don't understand this. When it comes to what's going on between the Gaza Strip and Israel, I find this very simple. A terror organization that the state of Palestine supports, put in power, lets them do what they want, lets them run the show. All those people, millions of people, led by a terror organization. Terror organization on October 7th goes and starts killing random people in Israel. They break through this fucking wall. They go to a music festival, start slaughtering everybody, kidnap a ton of people, dead babies in the street. The worst fucking... Israel's 9/11. All I ask myself is, if I'm Israel, what do I do? Well, I do what Israel's doing right now, and you bomb them back to the goddamn Stone Age. All right? And you don't give a fuck at that point. That's the last straw. All right? Not to mention that the Palestinians are using the hostages and their own children and their own people as shields by blending in with them, you know, all that shit. So now the U.S., remember I told you the U.S. is involved now in a second war by proxy because we give all this aid, military aid to Israel. But what's interesting is we want all this money and aid going to Israel to help them fight this. But at the same time, that's out of one side of our mouths. And the other side of our mouth, you've got the Biden administration encouraging like a ceasefire, encouraging diplomacy. Well, you can't have both. You either want Israel to continue to kill all those people who tried to kill them, or you don't. You can't give them money and support and then tell them to stop. That's the dumbest thing. That's like I go down to the inner city, Grand Rapids, and walk up to the crackhead and give him 10 pounds of crack and then lecture him about not doing crack. It's ridiculous. So, in that sense, I don't know why that even is happening at the top. In our country now, we've got the liberal side of this are demanding change, and they want Israel to stop destroying Gaza. And again, I ask them, how would you feel if whatever, this happened in your backyard, in your neighborhood? A bunch of people came in and just started slaughtering people. How would you react to that? And you knew you could eliminate the threat through force. You're goddamn right you would do what Israel is doing. You wouldn't, like, feel bad for them because they murdered your family, you fucking asshole. And so, you know, that's why they call these things war. Anyway, in our beautiful city of Grand Rapids, the Kent County Democratic Building has been vandalized. It's a sign that says, cease fire now. These people want our government to stop giving them aid and tell them to stop. Now, I can understand the stop giving them aid part of it. Why? I mean, I don't know why we do that. Why are we even giving them any money in the first place? I think we're giving them money in the first place, our Democratic-led government, because of if they don't, they run a risk of losing an election. I think that that's being done with that in mind, you know? And I think that the White House is damned if they do, damned if they don't. If they don't give them money, they're fucked. And if they give them money, they're fucked. This is reason number 8,557 why Joe Biden is going to be slaughtered in the next upcoming election. He's fucked concerning this thing. So what he's trying to do is do both. Give money and telling them to stop. My God. So the locals now are demanding that the Democrats, well, they vandalize their building with this sign, cease fire now. That's how fucked up the local citizens are about this. This is, again, proof positive that there is, I don't know what people who feel as strongly about this as they do, what they're going to do when the election comes. You know, they're defacing the local Democratic Party headquarters. These are Democrats, far left Democrats, defacing their own goddamn building. It's not Republicans doing that. The Republicans are like, yeah, blow them out of the fucking water. Fuck those guys. So this is just fucking ugly. My God. The graffiti was an apparent reference to Israeli military action in Gaza. To be clear, where I stand on this, if someone said to me, EZ, what should the Israelis do? Should they stop destroying Gaza or should they keep going? I would say remove all of your troops and then drop every bomb you have on Gaza and that's the end of it. It's not Israel's fault that these motherfuckers came in and killed 1,200 of their people. I would be so fed up with them, and I wouldn't give a fuck what anybody in the world said. I would blow them back to the goddamn Stone Age. This would be over in about 1 hour, if it were me. So there you go. That is another interesting thing about my brain. You can't pin me down to right or left, because what I just said is very much a right-wing ideology or viewpoint of this. And it's like, you bet your fucking ass I would bomb them back to the Stone Age. Are you kidding me? This would be the easiest decision I've ever made. Do you remember that pound of flesh that you were looking for after the Twin Towers got ripped down and the Pentagon and Shanksville and all that shit and all that blood, guts, and gore? We were so pissed off, we actually bombed a country that didn't have... We started a war with a country that had nothing to do with it. Imagine if you could pinpoint who actually did it, like Israel. Holy fuck. You bet your ass you'd be all over it. Son of a bitch. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what we're talking about today. I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for supporting on Patreon. If you're listening to the audio podcast on Patreon, be a good sport and sign up for Tier 2. What are you doing? You're missing some golden moments without that video element. Have a great weekend, everybody. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.